Turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David Britton from the Stardome. Are you there?
I am, Johnny, yes.
Oh, welcome along to Spaced Out.
Your segment that you do.
Yeah, hi, Big Hungry.
How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Getting a bit cooler, but I guess that's to be expected.
Okay, did you buy some Ray-Bans or something?
No.
Sorry, but carry on. How could it get any cooler than space, though, eh? Basically.
Yeah, so have you seen anything about going to the toilet in space?
I understand that it's quite a challenge. I can imagine in zero gravity it would be difficult to get everything to go in a certain direction and not just float off into the shuttle.
Well, that's right. They've had a space toilet on the space shuttle, and there's one on the space station. The main thing is to strap yourself down with a seatbelt so you don't float off the toilet, and then basically use a vacuum to draw everything into one place so it doesn't go floating away. Mm. With the astronauts who went to the moon, they didn't actually have a toilet on board the Apollo spacecraft. They had to do it manually, shall we say, with plastic bags and stuff like that.
But Rank.
Well, exactly. And then bring it back with them. They what they did on the Apollo. On the moon, what they did there stayed on the moon, actually.
They
put them in bio-sealed.
So we actually left shit on the
moon. On the surface.
Jesus Christ. Is that what held the flag in? Did they kind of like use it as cement?
Well, that'd be something for archaeologists in the future to discover what's happened to them. You know, basically, they would have frozen solid, so that's not a big problem.
Does it go white? Who knows?
Don't know. Don't know about the colour. But, of course, the Americans, they want to go back to the moon, as do other countries.
Just to step in their shit, probably.
So they want to have a better way of doing it while they're getting there, which is the weightless part of the voyage. But when you get to the moon, there's some gravity. So a toilet for use on the moon itself has to deal with the fact that there is some gravity. There's 1/6 of the gravity we have. But it is there. So NASA's put out this challenge. The challenge isn't the act of it. The challenge is to come up with something to solve that. And this is for anyone all around the world. It's not restricted just to the United States, any age. There's three prizes. $20,000 for the first prize. That's US dollars. Second prize is $10,000. Third place is $5,000. And there's even a junior category where children, that's anyone under the age of 18 years, can send their ideas to NASA, and the winners there will get recognition, public recognition, and some NASA merchandise and so on. Mm. So it's just to see what people do come up with. There's a whole set of specifications about what it's got to be able to do, you know. The whole thing has to be about 120 litres. That's the size of, you know, a very large fridge. Hmm. So it's got to be very tightly designed.
Is anyone taking inspiration from, like, just toilets when you go on the plane?
Inspiration from what?
You know, like a plane toilet?
Definitely
going to need that suction. Going to need that
form. That's one thing, but this has to work, you know, as I said, up in a weightless environment and on the moon. It's got to work for both. The other thing that was developed with the space shuttle was toilets that work for women and men, but just men, because, I mean, the first astronauts were all men. So this has to work for women who would be going into space as well. It's got a it's a whole bent series of specifications.
Does it have to be heated?
Now, but it's very tightly defined, so it's not just back of the postcard sort of drawing that they're looking for. It's got to be something that is going to be worth their while looking at. But as I said, it's anyone around the world, and the deadline is the 17th of August, so it's only like a bit over a month away. So it's not long.
Do you think I could just jot up a rough sketch?
I thought it'd be worth letting New Zealanders know that they're in with a chance if they have that, you know, that one good idea.
I wonder how detailed your idea needs to be. Just
Well, I'll put this up on our website and our Spaced Out webpage. So there's an article about it, but there's also the actual submission page. And that gives lots of detail about what's required. The design specifications, the performance specifications, et cetera, et cetera. As I said, I'm not going to go over that detail here. It's
much shit does it need to pull out?
A bit yucky, actually, so anyway.
Now, what else in space news, David?
Yes, the other day, unfortunately, Rocket Lab had their first failure with a proper mission, not a test mission. This was with paying customers satellites, their payloads on board. So, I mean, the launch went fine. The first stage got the rocket up most of the way up, and the second stage was motoring on towards circularizing the orbit, and then suddenly the telemetry was lost, so they lost communication with it. Let me think. Some of the telemetry was lost, sorry. They were still able to track the trajectory of the spacecraft. So it started slowing down, it started stopped going higher, and then basically just fell back to Earth. So it would have burnt up and all the payloads were lost. Rocket Lab apologized to everyone. They're going to see what happened. What seems to be a fairly big clue, it might turn out to be not the case, so this is just what some people are thinking might have happened at this stage. One of the innovations with the rocket they use is it uses batteries to power the fuel pumps. And on the second stage, a rocket that has three batteries, and two of them are hot swapped. So they change from one battery to the next in a fraction of a second to keep up the same amount of power delivered to the pumps. And two of the batteries are actually jettisoned. Because these batteries weigh a fair amount, so the idea is when those two batteries have done their dash, they're actually ejected, which makes what's left on the rocket lighter, and so the rocket doesn't have to push so hard to get it to orbit. And it was around about that time that the anomaly occurred. So it could well be something that happened either just before or after this hot swap happens. Maybe something shorted, something happened wrong, went wrong with the battery or the circuitry or something. So we'll wait to see what Rocket Lab tell us. It might have happened something completely different, but that's what seems to be indicating at the moment. So let's hope they sort that out soon. They're saying, well, they'll learn from it and make sure it doesn't happen again, and the next launch is a month or two away.
They've obviously got some serious instruments on the rocket to measure what's happening and track exactly what's going on.
I'm sure they'd have some telemetry on things like voltages around the electrical circuits and that sort of thing. I would think if it is something like this, they'd be able to nail it fairly quickly, but they also want to be able to reassure their customers that not only have they located the fault, but they can reassure the customers it's not going to happen again. So I suppose there'll be a little bit of a delay before they announce what the problem was.
And what's happening in the night sky, David?
Quite a lot, actually, in between the nasty weather. this good weather is actually good because it cleans up the sky. It means the dust is cleared away. So after sunset, you've got Scorpius over in the east. That's really good to see. And Jupiter and Saturn are rising in the east a bit after 8 o'clock, so two bright planets to see. And in the south, the southern crossing pointers are really high, so you can't miss them. They're right up there. The moon, we just had a full moon.
Yeah, so last night, was it?
Yeah.
Freaked me
so
out.
It's rising a bit later each night, so it won't be causing such a bright sky.
Does anyone else kind of get a little bit of a fright when they see the full moon? They're like, ooh. Like you don't, you're like, you get a little bit of melancholia such going on where it's like, is that getting closer? But, yeah.
Yeah. Did you check the hair on your palms?
I teen wolfed out.
Anyway, sunrise in the morning is even more to see. Firstly, over in the east, we've got the Pleiades and Taurus, Orion. Venus is there, really, really bright. We've had a number of phone calls from people and messages saying, you know, what is it? And, yeah, Venus is just so bright, just amazing, much brighter than Sirius. Sirius is the brightest star in the night sky, and Venus outshines it by miles.
That's embarrassing, a little bit.
Yeah. So that's in the morning in the east. And the west at sunrise, Jupiter and Saturn have gone right across the sky during the night. And so they're setting in the west, and Mars is up in the northwest. And right up above in the south is the Magellanic Cloud. So two galaxies that circle around our galaxy. They're really high, so if you've got binoculars in the morning, get up and have a look at those.
Fantastic. And the Stardome, back into the swing of things?
Back into the swing of things. The school groups are really coming along in numbers now, which is good to see. We've also got a shop sale on at the moment. That's till the end of the month.
Any cheap moon rocks or anything?
Well, it's 40% off products. It's not quite everything, not ice creams.
You got any space poo or anything like that?
So I'm pretty sure there will be discounts on alien rocks. I can't say moon rocks. We don't have any of those.
But what's an alien rock?
Asteroid pieces. Oh, yeah. Sort of thing, meteorites.
Could have been a moon. Who knows?
Well, we know because, yeah.
Who knows? You're right. It's a total mystery. That's right.
But along with the normal stuff, puzzles, toys, books, there are science kits. We've got telescopes, binoculars.
How much is a space rock? I'm real keen to get a space rock. Maybe chuck it on a key ring.
It depends on the size. They can be anything from like $40 to $140.
Keyring size.
So the ones that we have there aren't the really expensive ones. But they've got the right documentation to say they are meteorites.
Okay. What are they typically made of?
Don't try and get on my buzz, by the way. This is my idea, keyring. Can you even drill through it? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, you'd have to be careful what you're doing because, they're not... they can break up if you use the wrong sort of drill, yeah.
Mint.
Anyway, school holidays, we're not doing the normal school holiday sessions because, the main reason being people getting back together. I know we're at level one, but people are still a little bit hesitant in some ways about that. Also, our volunteers, we needed to organise them a long time ago, and at that stage we didn't know when we were going to level one, so... We're not having the normal sessions, but we do have shows that are on for the children. Matariki Dawn and We Are Stars are the two shows that are on, 10, 11 in the morning and 1 and 2 in the afternoon. We're also launching rockets when the weather allows. So that's a separate, anyone can look at those. But for the planetarium shows, you need to book ahead of time to get a seat for those. The Matariki shows, we've still got them going. That's the Nafetu o Matariki. That goes to the 18th of July. And on the Friday, the 10th and 17th, there's special events for those. You pay a little bit of extra as R18 because you get a drink and some food. But that's an extra special edition of the Matariki show.
Awesome. Hey, thank you very much, David Britton from the Stardome.
Thank you.
We shall check in with you in a fortnight's time.
I look forward to it.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.